Aloha.
Oh, because it's private. No. Are you drunk? Are you wasted for my talk show?
But the mom must be drunk or something. Yes. She didn't notice that there's a guy. She hit a bike.
No, Ed nailed it. He had a boner, for sure.
Hello and welcome. We are back from theballerlifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. Thank you very much for joining the show, episode 334. If you are not already subscribed, I was going to read the names of all the subscribers to our Red Circle page. I want to like give people shout outs. And I got a list, but then people are like, I don't want you to read my night. It's fine. Like people like actually, they're like, are you actually going to read those names? I don't like. Is it rude to do to say thank you to people that are giving us money? So I don't know. Let me know if I shouldn't do that. But if you're not already a subscriber, please think about doing so. Redcircle.com. Go to theballerlifestyle.com and click on the link. There's a donation link at the very top of the page. You can subscribe to the show. $5 a month to get all of our premium content. Please do that. Also, if you would like to reach out, basically exclusively talking about movies these days, reach out to us via the voicemail. People love the voicemail, 949-464-TBLS. As well, you can leave us send us an email, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. Justin Turner just got robbed. I am joined now, former Oriole. I am joined now, as I am pretty much every week when it's not on vacation, by Mr. Ed Daly. Ed, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Justin Turner, when you see pictures of him on the Orioles, crazy. He's all clean cut. It's weird looking.
Yeah, and he's like kind of like had like a fat face, like, you know, because he's young, you know, he kind of had baby fat still. And now, because I think he's like,
boy.
Yeah, I think he's like 37 now.
He was a boy on the Orioles.
Right. Well, he just got robbed with one. Ed, good to have you back. Ed has a book, by the way, Amazon.com, Heroes and Jerks. Go buy Ed's book. Ed, how's it going? How's your vacay?
Vacation was good. I will say I do appreciate I've gotten some more positive reviews on Amazon.
Yep.
But I will say that the kind of jokes we do on the show, just keep in mind there are a couple of them, just a couple, that are maybe thinking the show overlaps to my book. And, you know, the reason those reviews are on there, and it's good to have good reviews, is for people to, like, read it who don't follow me on the show and know. And I know it's funny, but it's not funny because I had a reporter ask me about something.
Loudcomers?
No, it was asking me, like, I see Guy Fieri is written in here, but it's not. And it's like, I get it. I know you're breaking my balls. And like, by the way, you can edit your Amazon comments. So I would really appreciate it if the people who it was, you know, everybody's being very nice. Everybody's giving me 5 stars, and right. I know, like, I've gotten some 5-star reviews from MAGA people, and I know that they're doing it just to be kind to me because, you know, my opinions on Trump are known. So everybody's being really nice, but the, you know, one review is like, "Hey, where's all the dong talk?" And it's like, guys, you know, like, I appreciate you gave me 5 stars, but like, that's not helpful when somebody's like clicking to figure out if this is the book for them. And they're like, "Where's all the dicks?" Like, I keep it funny, but it's different. I'm putting on a different hat. For this show, I am being pretty authentic to who I am. Like, I'm not like, you know how Howard Stern would be like, well, you know, Howard Stern off the air is totally different. Like, I'm not. This is me. This is how I talk to my friends.
Sure.
However, when I'm trying to sell a book, it's almost like, you know, you're interviewing for somebody. Like, you don't talk about dicks in that scenario.
No, not in your history book.
So I, you know, I'm trying to I'm trying to, I show personality in the book, but I'm not talking about dicks. I mean,
yeah,
we got to separate. Yeah. I got a couple things that we got.
Sure.
We've talked over the years about my very much disdain for the unwritten rules of baseball. But last night with Tatis Jr., wasn't his dad the good friend of Buck?
I mean, I feel like that's an urban legend, much like Kevin Costner and Cal Ripken's wife.
Gotcha.
But that is his dad.
I was just trying to figure out if his dad was the one that was friends with him.
Right.
But I read a controversial grand slam at the end of the game. And the unwritten rule is they were up big and a 3-0 pitch you're not supposed to swing at if you're. I mean, they threw a meatball for him.
Yeah, and they were up big. They were up 7 runs. I mean, that's a big lead, but you could have a five run inning easily.
Something like in the last 20 years, there have been 30 games, 40 games where somebody scored 8 runs in the last 2 innings.
Yeah.
50 games, something crazy. And it's like, but regardless of that, if you're up 25-0, and by the way, those Rangers who are all complaining, I remember about 20 years ago when they beat the Orioles like 30-3.
Right.
I know nobody was on the team then, but that franchise, I don't remember hearing one person complain. If you're up 70 runs and somebody throws the ball over the plate,
you got to swing the bat.
You have to swing it.
Yeah.
If you really wanted to walk the guy, there's an intentional walk.
Right. Send him down.
But, I mean, and I saw somebody write, you know, Tatis is 21 years old. He can't pick where he plays for another 5 years.
Yeah.
Six. He's going to try to earn based on his stats. You throw him a fucking meatball. He should be allowed to throw. I mean, they immediately threw at Machado the next pitch.
Yeah.
But like, why? What are we doing here?
You're not going to find me disagreeing. This kid's, he's having an MVP season. He might be the best player in baseball right now. Like, he's got to do what he can do. This is, you get paid on performance in this game. He just got 4 more RBI and a fucking another home run. Like, what's he supposed to do? Those are stats that count. Yeah, be less shitty. Here's the thing. Don't want guys to hit home runs off you, grand slams off you late in the game. Don't put 3 guys on base when the best fucking hitter's coming up.
And also baseball itself lends itself to a one-on-one performance where a guy is punished. What are you supposed to let him just go down looking? I mean, I understand it was 3-0, but like, so if he takes a strike, then he hits the grand slam, everything's cool.
Exactly. It's stupid. No, it's stupid.
It's not like football, where you're up big with 5 seconds left and you throw a bomb. Like that's different. Baseball, they throw over the plate and what's he supposed to do? He's supposed to swing.
Like a couple years ago, the Trojans were destroying the Bruins and late in the game, Rick Neuheisel called, because he was an idiot, called a timeout for some reason. And then Pete Carroll faked taking a knee. They were up by like 30 with like a few seconds left in the game. He faked taking a knee and then threw a bomb. I mean, that's a fucking douche move right there.
Right. But and we talked about it, and you know, I was ultimately pretty, I'm a fan of Megan Rapinoe, but when they were in that World Cup where they beat some team like 15-0.
Thailand.
In soccer, towards the end. I mean, unless Thailand did some shitty thing to them.
Right.
What I was arguing then is like, in the flow of the game, you don't need to score the 15th goal against them.
Well, you're not even in the same league of team. Right. You're like, that's like the dream team versus Angola.
But
you let Christian Laettner play for a while, you know.
But individual stats really, I mean, goals are one thing. But like in an early World Cup game or late in a, it just doesn't matter. Baseball, they get paid on their stats.
Yeah, for sure.
Threw it over the plate. Fuck. I mean, fuck the Rangers. Whatever. I also want to say that I am very tired of people talking about, hey, they're going to mess with the post office. They're going to mess with the election. At this point, it's done. I mean, I haven't gotten like regular mail like in a timely manner. Everybody knows what's happening. How about some solutions?
Yeah.
I mean, I hear no solutions. I just hear, hey, he's going to mess with our democracy. It's done. The post office right now, they're already like been given strict guidelines. I want to hear solutions. I don't want to read another article about how this could be a problem. This could be an issue.
Yeah, this is why we elect people. This is why we have to elect different people. Because if you want people that fucking care about democracy to do something about it, you need to find people that care about democracy and put them in office.
It absolutely is crazy because everybody likes the post office. I don't understand what happened.
Fucking people love the post office.
Love my mail carrier. Come on.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love the post office?
Oh, I love it. I love the post office. My shit comes on time. The shit I order.
But
they deliver it.
And you know, that's not political. Everyone gets it. Service.
You can put a piece of paper or several pieces of paper in an envelope and you can fucking put it outside your front door and for 50 cents, they will take it anywhere in the country. Think about that for a second. Just think about that. Just
what, like a timely matter.
Yes.
I mean, there's such an, you have the occasional, like very occasional, something goes wrong with the mail, but for the most part, like everything you send, I can't remember like what, I mean, most bills are online now, but there, you know, I know I didn't have like, oh, we didn't get your check or whatever, right. You know, whatever, when you had to do that. Like,
no, it's stunning how ridiculous. Consistent they are. And people are like, privatize. Everybody wants to privatize everything. Privatize.
So think of like gangs in New York days when they had the privatized fire department. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, you privatize it. And guess what? Then you get prioritized on what, you know, whether you matter or not. That's disaster.
If you're in a place that's kind of hard to get to, do you think a fucking private company is going to bring some shit to your house for 50 cents? Get the fuck out of here.
And everybody uses it for a million reasons. Like voting. Mm-hmm. Like voting is just one small thing. Right. Somebody, I don't know if it sounds believable, but I, you know, I'm just reading a tweet. But somebody said if every American voted by mail, it would be 1/20th of the amount of mail sent, like Christmas card season, holiday card season.
Sure.
1/20th.
Yeah.
And they handle it every year.
It should
people get my card. Like it's insane.
It should be compulsory. It should be the way we do it.
Right.
Send it in the fucking mail. Luckily for me is I've been voting absentee. I don't know, like as long as I've been voting, but almost exclusively I forget to mail it back, so I always have to go on election day and drop off my pre-filled out absentee ballot, so I won't be affected by the
that's how New Jersey office. Is yeah. doing it. There's no booths anymore.
Yeah,
they mail you the ballot, and I guess you could get another one at the yes. station, but
I'll take a provisional.
But and you know, no matter our states. That bozo is going to lose by 20 points anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
So it doesn't matter.
Yeah. It's anybody that wants to make it harder to vote, they want to make it harder to vote for a reason because they benefit from that.
Right. But I heard the argument, and it's a pretty good one. They're like, well, that's just part of what it's used for. People drive to vote. Are you going to just start fucking up all the roads? Like, it's a weird thing. Everybody uses the post office just like everybody uses roads. You wouldn't fuck with that.
Well, they do, but they do. They've been fucking with that for years. They just make it so there aren't as many places to vote where people don't vote for their guy.
There are a million ways to suppress. Yeah. We know who wants to suppress, but don't fuck with the mail because that's not the only thing the mail is used for.
Yeah. Fuck with voting a different way. Leave the mail alone. I get you. I agree with you.
Yeah, we love the post office.
yes, that's it. So we're doing a movie today.
Yeah, and who? Where did this come from?
Hold on. We're not to it yet.
Okay.
I'll get your.
I got gripes.
Yeah, well, that's the point.
Multiple gripes.
So a lot of people have been hitting us up to do this movie, and I thought I would do something fun. I was like, certain people have, oh my God, this fucking idiot. Oh my God. It's not ringing. I've been waiting. Oh my God. So certain people have been hitting us up to do this one specific movie. 1986's BMX, teenage BMX movie, Rad. And one of the loudest voices was, he's the same guy. One of the guys that got us to do Howard the Duck is a Twitter friend, Telly Tuput. So I'm like,
he's the Howard the Duck guy?
Yes. So I'm like, what if we got Telly Tuput? What if we got him to participate in the show and he could talk about his favorite movie, Rad, with us? And I've been calling him for fucking 20 minutes and getting his voicemail. So we started the show without him. Finally I DM'd him and he's like, I just what I just said. It's not ringing. I've been waiting. Shit, just fixed it. Sorry. So let's call him now and we'll get on with this now that he's held us up.
We've been filibustering he can.
Yeah. We started without him.
Hey, buddy. Sorry about that.
Friend of the show, Telly Tuput, joins us. Ed, say hi to Telly.
Telly, do I have this correct? You were the one who suggested Howard the Duck also?
Yeah.
If it's private, it doesn't come through. Sorry.
What? Oh, because it's private. No. Are you drunk? Are you wasted for my talk show? Oh, but he asked you about Howard the Duck. You were the one that suggested we review Howard the Duck on the show, and you happen to think Howard the Duck is a good movie. Oh my God. Oh my God. The noise.
All right. Hold on.
Oh my God. Hold on. We're on the air here.
All right. You there? Okay. Sorry.
Oh my God. Blast me. Oh boy. So Telly, you joined us here on the show was when you lost your Twitter account for threatening to murder a bookmaker who disrespected Tiger Woods. Is that correct?
Paddy Power, I believe.
Paddy Power, yes.
Paddy Power, yep. Just over a year ago.
Yeah, just RIP Telly Tuputz. Now Telly Tuput. Well, we're happy to have you here. Let's knock out some voicemails. You can hang in, and then we're going to talk about Rad, okay?
Sounds good.
All right.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring and worthless, but he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than ish. His thoughts are useless shit.
Okay, a couple quick voicemails. Hold on. This one might sound familiar. Here, look at this.
Oh no.
Yeah. Oh yes.
Easy Ed Daily. Hey, what's up? It's Telly Tuput. So, wow, this is actually a pretty good story. So, you guys know.
So, Telly, before I continue, give me a brief synopsis of the amount of alcohol imbibed prior to making this
video. Claws.
Yeah. How many claws?
This was 13 days ago. I'm glad you saved it until today.
Well, we haven't done a show.
Yeah, I was really, really, really drunk.
Really drunk.
And I think this goes on for a while.
Yeah, it's pretty long, 2 minutes, but you're here, so you can walk us through. Let's listen to a little bit more from Telly Tuputz. Tuput.
Someone's calling me on this line.
No.
Let me see if I can fucking pull him in.
What the fuck is this? Oh, my God. It's a long pause.
Oh, I thought you stopped.
I probably put you on hold.
You're trying to conference somebody on my fucking voicemail? What is happening here? Boy. I thought Howard the Duck was bad. Jesus.
Oh, no.
It's just... silence, but I see there's more.
I guess.
This is just crazy. This is insane. What's happening? Are you going to talk again?
All right. I don't know. For money.
Oh, here we go.
Xbox. But here's the deal. Old girl fucking walk off. Things he's funny about that she was fucking young.
Oh no.
23.
Oh no.
But she's an agent.
Hold on, let me translate for Telly.
I don't know what's going on.
I'm gonna explain it to you. This is just so hard. See, people aren't good communicators, so it needs to go through somebody that knows how to communicate me. What he's saying in his fucking drunk language is that his friend on Twitter, walk off HBP, guy was a pike, known to butt chug. He makes fun of Telly because Telly likes him young. And Telly does like him young. And we're not saying Chris D'Elia young, right? We're saying like of age, but too young for Telly. Telly, what are you, about 39?
Yeah, close enough.
She
was 23.
20, that's too young, but it's legal. So you're trying to explain that you like a 23-year-old Asian chick.
No, she's like 27.
27? Okay. Well, let's see what you have to say.
Walkoff is secretly fucking racist. He always jokes about how young she looked.
Hold on.
But she was working today. Like when I showed up at League and I'm like, who's this chick?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh my God, it's fucking Katie.
Who cares?
And I was fucking stunned because she's engaged.
Oh.
She's in the Air Force or the FBI. I don't even know
which. Either.
Mm-hmm. Air Force or FBI.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And she's just started working back at the course here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But
does the FBI not pay well
I'm
enough?
I'm fucking blown away.
Yeah, she's got a double time as a cart girl. Back. Yeah.
I mean, it was good. I mean, she's obviously nice to me. But
oh my God,
I guarantee you she would fucking kill Paul.
She's too
probably taller than Paul.
Okay, so let me explain. Some chick you used to bang or have banged has returned to the golf club that you play at, and it's a little awkward because she's serving claws out of the cart, but it was fine, and you think your friend Paul from Twitter is kind of jealous. Is that what you're saying?
No, so she's the one that started the whole Telly like some young shit.
Oh!
Because I sent out a picture of her standing next to like this weed plant that was growing on the golf course.
I've seen this chick. You made a picture of her Instagram. You're leg man. She's got very long legs.
No.
Oh, not her?
No. She's about 5'2".
Mm-hmm.
Little Asian chick.
Spinner.
And there was her picture of her standing next to this marijuana plant. Yeah. And I should have never tweeted out that picture because those guys went nuts with it.
Yeah, they did. Paul, Chalitsky, all those guys. All right. Well,
and
good.
They've never.
Yes.
4 years later, they still haven't let it go.
Yes. Well, that's on you. That's on you, Telly. You got to do better. Also, great call. Let's try to tighten that up next time.
That was a real gem.
Yeah. Let's don't put us on hold for 45 seconds. What? And then we have to
call and be like, yes, you got to tighten your shit up.
I think it looks like Manuel did call. So it's started off badly. Let's see if this next person can get us back on track.
Hey guys, Luke from Fort Collins.
See, Luke from Fort Collins,
he's a great caller.
Do you know, now Telly, you live near the Fort Collins area, right? Are you and Luke acquainted? Do you go to the best cigar shop in Fort Collins ever?
No, but I do know the cigar. I actually work in Fort Collins and live basically a mile outside of Fort Collins.
Wow. Well, so. Maybe you guys can have a meetup. Let's see what Luke has to say.
The cigar shop.
Yeah.
I've got this older coworker. He's got mild Tourette's. He just says bizarre things from time to time. He said once, hey, Lukey, there's a story going around that Huey Lewis has a big wiener. So based on this theory, is it possible that Huey is the Back to the Future 2 loudcomer?
Wow.
Ow.
Who's that loudcomer?
Oh, we didn't do that one, did we?
We didn't. Yeah, I think that's common knowledge. We once talked about a cocktail, a famous cocktail in Canada, the Huey Lewis, that's just two tall boys taped together because Huey Lewis is just known to be just packing quite a hammer. He's hung like the All Outdoors. I think that's That's commonly known. What's Ed? We did do Back to the Future Part Two. We forgot to rate.
I think this one goes chalk.
Yeah, it's got to be Brown. Who? Doc Brown. Oh, no. I mean, yes, I could see him being
saying Biff.
Oh, Biff. Future Biff.
You know what? Yeah. Biff, that's right. Future Biff was the biggest overactor on Earth. You're right.
So you guys should go back and listen to that. Episode 332. Reality Steve might be, he's the internet's foremost Bachelor expert, but he might be the world's foremost Back to the Future Part 2 historian. I mean, he knows every fucking detail.
You've seen some crazy shit. Like, yeah, I'm on the fence of what the best one is. What?
No. Well, he loves gambling. He loves anything to do with gambling.
Okay, what?
Yes. Telly Two Putts, Back to the Future Part 2. Who would you have as the loudest comer in Back to the Future Part 2?
Probably Old Man Biff.
Old Man Biff. Oh, really?
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's, Future Biff. 2015 Biff. Yes.
Well, you got to figure.
Yeah.
I was talking about Griff.
Griff. Yeah, Griff is a very loud comer. I could picture him being the loudest comer. Yes. Telly, you were going to say?
Well, you got to figure at this point, the guy, he's had all the money in the world.
Yeah.
And he's probably done a lot of shit.
Right.
Oh, you're talking about the Trump version, not the old man, like the guy who hands him the...
Yeah, the Trump version. Sorry.
Yeah, me too. Okay, we're on the same page there. But I had forgotten about Griff, but Griff had that weird... He had this affectation to his voice. So that could be... He could really... Griff could be like the dog whistle of comers. You're like... He's like so squeaky that all the dogs in the neighborhood start barking, and maybe like nobody notices that he's ejaculating that's actually in the room with him. But all the animals, all the squirrels start running around. It's like when there's about to be an earthquake, you know, all the cats kind of fucking scatter, like because they can hear the pitch of Griff and they're the only ones that can't. But yes, Huey Lewis, big old dong. OK, let's do another one here. Also from the. OK, hold on. Wait, this could be like spam. There's no transcription, so hold on. Yeah, Chinese. Sorry. Okay, one more.
Probably Shen Yun.
Yeah. We talked about that. Okay, this is a familiar voice.
Bright, Bex, Easy Eduardo. What up? Hey, man. So we're 5 to 6 months into this pandemic, and I keep hearing people complaining about masks. And why we should wear masks. I mean, it's pretty simple, guys. We're trying to help prevent the precursor to prevention, spread a deadly disease that is airborne and highly infectious, okay? Your breathing apparatus being covered
helps
you to not spread it out.
But Manuel, everybody knows that. It's just a political thing. They don't care. They don't care about spreading a deadly virus around. They just don't care. They don't care that people might get it.
They don't care about others.
Yeah, exactly.
People, and it also helps to not ingest it. Yeah, believe it or not, if you cover your mouth and your nose, you'll breathe certain things in. Go figure, huh? What a mind blower.
Yeah.
And for you other asshats and
jag-offs
every damn day with your mask under your nose.
Well, that's stupid.
Don't even wear the fucking mask then, you idiot. Yeah. I mean, not only do you look stupid because you don't know how to put on a damn mask, but it's ineffective. And you're walking around just as recklessly as these other asshats who claim...
Okay, we're with you. Thank you for that, Manuel. One more.
The one thing I'll say, I will disagree with him.
Oh.
Look, you should cover everything.
Yeah.
Covering your mouth.
That's the number one. That's a number one.
Yeah. Covering your mouth is still good for me if your mouth, because when people talk, that's where things come out.
Yeah, the droplets.
So everybody, just cover everything. We get it. But like, don't listen to Manuel that if you're not going to cover your nose, don't cover it at all. No. That's bad advice.
Yeah, if you're... No one's saying fucking cover your stupid mouth in your fucking living room. Just when you're around people. When you're at the grocery store where there's people. When you're at the fucking library.
Think of the percentage of people that are just really ugly. It's been a good run of not having to look at ugly people.
Yeah. I go get a breakfast sandwich at the deli across the street from my office. I fucking walk across the street. When I get to the deli, I pull a fucking little thing over my face. I go inside. I do my transaction. I walk out. I take the fucking thing off my face and walk back into my fucking office. You know, like it's easy. It's not a hassle. It's not a political statement. Okay. One more voicemail.
Yo, can we get more malls? Molly is amazing. I think we're due for a little reboot on that pop culture segment. All right. Keep it baller.
I don't know who that is. I don't think we'll be rebooting the pop culture segment, but we were happy to have Molly McAleer join us for an episode, and she'll probably pop in and out. And I'm on her show occasionally, so check that out. Thank you for that. Okay, let's do one quick email, and then we'll move on. Dear Ed and Brad, I need some help. Recently, I had a score. Maybe the best of my life. An extremely attractive blonde with a killer body and I hooked up for a fun evening at my place. The sex was off the charts good. Everything was epic. Maybe an all-time great. Happy for this person. She stayed the night and in the AM, she woke up, brushed her teeth, and came back for more. Oh, she's double dipping. I thought
he implying he didn't brush his teeth?
Well, hold on. We're not there yet.
Okay.
I thought perhaps I was in heaven. As a gentleman, before I engaged in an AM romp, where you guys at on morning sex, by the way? Ed Daly, your thoughts? Morning sex, yay or nay?
Well, if I'll take it whenever I can get it.
Sure.
But yeah. But are you saying, implying if you went to bed right after it and then you wake up?
No, I'm saying best times of the day to have sex. Where do you rate the morning? First thing in the morning, where are you at on morning sessions?
I'm very high on it because I think I'm at my best. I have a drained battery by the end of the day.
Peak testosterone in the morning. Interesting. Telly Tuput, you're probably too wasted at night to make a decent performance. Do you feel like you are also better in the morning? You give a good morning session to your bar slice?
I prefer it.
And morning's not my favorite. I feel like I peak in the afternoon. I don't know. I just feel like I'm best. I like banging in the daylight first and foremost, but I feel like my dick doesn't quite wake up. Like it wakes up and it works, but I just feel like it's not as sensitive as it could be in the morning. And a lot of times I'm fucking working out the jackhammer style first thing. And it's just, there's no finishing. There's just no, you know, I'm cutting glass there, but there's no end to it. So I prefer the afternoon.
Yeah. No, you're one time per 24 hour guys, right?
Sometimes I'll go two. It depends. I like it to be special. So I'm not into a quickie, if you know what I mean. I like everybody to get their cookie and have a little fun and make it nice. I'm not into doing like a 5-minute session. I'm into doing like a 45-minute session where everybody's feeling really good, maybe multiple times. And I don't feel like I get that in the morning. Plus, I like to be fresh. I like to have a shower. I like my teeth brushed, you know, all of that.
Shower in the morning, right?
Yeah, of course. Well, no, I shower.
Oh, you got caught.
I usually shower in the afternoon or the evening. Okay, we'll continue. I got up to brush my teeth. Oh, as a gentleman, before I engaged in an AM romp, I got up to brush my teeth. However, it quickly became apparent to me that she did more than brush her teeth in my bathroom.
Oh.
I was soon overcome with a smell that I can only describe as the odor of a dead, rotting animal. When I, oh man, When I lifted the lid to the toilet, I noticed there were grease marks in the bowl.
She skidded the pan?
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
I flushed the toilet again, but somehow they would not dissipate. I don't like these words, guys. And streaked along the bowl, demarcating their place in my toilet. Naturally, I lost my urge for a morning romp, and when I returned from the bathroom, told her that I forgot I had to get somewhere, and I drove her home. The goodbye in the car was somewhat awkward. As the days passed, the smell and marks are fading from my memory, and the thought of the very not sex is dominating my thoughts. She has called a few times since that day. How do I proceed? Please, I need your astute relationship advice. That's from Confused Canard in Kansas. Cool. Canard.
Canard.
Good to have you back, buddy.
Yeah, back in the fold.
Yeah.
Canard, well, one thing I'll say is, yeah. I mean, he's describing a disaster.
Horrible,
but
horrible.
You do have to understand that there are... it was unfortunate how it unfolded,
yes.
But... I mean, she does have a normal functioning body.
That's kind of gross, in my opinion. Like,
it's not ideal.
No.
No, I'm not saying it's ideal.
It's tough.
I'm just saying,
yes.
It was a tough situation. That, like, if you liked everything else,
yeah.
If all of a sudden this happened a second time,
yeah.
You're like, I don't know. To me, it would have to be. He was there.
Yeah.
So he would know if it was deal breaker quality. What I question is, there were no courtesy flushes. Like,
yeah.
That is a problem.
Also, we don't know. Does Canard maybe have a second bathroom? Like, could she have thought about it, bounced out to an adjacent restroom, done her business there, where Canard may not have discovered it right away? It helps.
Yeah, that's on him.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
This is on him.
Oh, interesting. Telly, you bring home a lot of young sleighs from the bar. We know you're very dynamic sexually. You're not enough to cause any strokes, but we know that you're a single dude. You like to play golf. You like to go to college bars. You like to live in college towns. I believe you got a vasectomy at a young age just so you could rock and fire. Tell us.
You know, you
wow.
share a hotel room with a girl.
Yeah.
It can happen.
Yes.
But you have to know if you follow her in, that's a possibility. So you gotta give it time just in case.
You know what?
You know, she probably turned the shower on. She probably... I guess she's brushing her teeth so the water is running.
Yep.
You know she's doing something there. That's yep. on you for following her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Me post quarantine,
yeah.
That's not going to stop me.
Right.
I'm a new man post quarantine.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
That's not stopping.
It's so I would agree that it is kind of on Canard. I mean, they probably were out getting boozed up the night before. So a lot of times this can be the evolution of that kind of behavior. But from the girl's perspective, like, maybe just, you know, make it seem like that's not what you're doing in there. Make an attempt. Light that match. Maybe there's a little eau de toilette in there that you can spray. I would say if that happened, I would poke my head out if I were her and go, you know what, babe, I'd like to get some of that good Canard dick again, but I'm just going to freshen up here. I'm going to take a little shower, because then the steaming of the bathroom could clear out any odors that were made. And also,
yeah, that's true.
Just clean that bowl, girl. Like, do something about it. Make it happen.
Yeah. The fact that she didn't want courtesy or look behind.
Yes. But at the same time, I'm feeling kind of sorry for her, because it seemed like she checked a lot of boxes.
Right.
You know,
like, yeah,
that's why I'm not in favor of punishing her over one bad moment.
Yeah, I kind of could go both ways. I personally, I like to keep it sexy. I like to keep that, everybody keep that stuff to their themselves as best they can. You know, it happens that sometimes you can't, but you got to do a little, you know, do a little recovery on it. Do the best you can.
I don't even use the master bathroom.
That's smart. That's smart.
So yeah. I'm with you that there's no like, hey, we're having a free for all people brushing teeth while other things are going on. Like, we're not one of those couples.
No.
But same time, I feel like mistakes were made in Kennard's situation.
I agree. It's definitely not all on the girl. I would say she could have done some things differently. Not like her body functions just as normally as everybody else's. So I'm not blaming her for really needing to do that in that situation. It's not her fault. She could have done a little bit better cleaning up, but Kennard could be a little more understanding here, especially it seems like she's a pretty cool chick.
Yeah. Either she felt really comfortable or she really had to go. It was one or two things.
Yeah. I think it's B. I think it's a B situation where it's just that, you know, she probably had a bunch of vodka Red Bulls the night before, like Telly likes to drink, and she had to let it go. She couldn't hold it in. Kennard, keep us updated, buddy. I'm gonna need more info on that. Let us know. Okay, 1986, the movie's rad. Here's the trailer.
His name is Crew.
Hey, good looking.
BMX is his world.
I don't know why this isn't louder.
Is his way of life.
The world would be a lot better off.
Mr. Hand.
Somebody need a paycheck.
Big time.
This is a very important race.
The very finest riders in the country are here riding for some $100,000.
Hell track in this big town.
The twins are troubling.
At the dance scene.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear any more about it.
Everyone. Adrian Balboa being a typical downer.
He's nothing next to Bart Taylor.
I just realized that the kid that says he's nothing next to Bart Taylor is wearing a Bart Taylor shirt. What? Okay, hold on. We'll talk more. I'll stop talking.
And he's going to prove it.
I've never seen such raw determination and talent in one kid.
Against the factory hotshots.
Looks like the local yokel's going to race after all.
It's going to take a miracle to beat this guy.
Against the big money fixers.
All you have to
do. A lot of big money in BMX.
Against impossible odds.
Yeah.
This guy doesn't even stand a chance.
Lori Loughlin, equally hot today as she was in 1986. The woman is a unicorn. Hell track.
Rad.
Does that flip at the end? Rad. So, Ed, you'd never seen Rad.
Never saw it.
Of course I did as a child. I remember going, pretty sure I saw this in the theater. It was a big deal to my friends. It's in the vein of The Karate Kid.
This was not nearly.
Hold on. It's
big.
The same kind of movie, though. It's a sports theme where a kid succeeds against the odds. So it's like North Shore. This was a genre of film in the 80s.
Yes. It was a genre.
Yes.
This was a niche North Shore kind of movie.
Absolutely. I saw it. It was a big deal. I remember lots of kids at school talking about Hell Track all the time. Ed, this was your first viewing of Rad. Give us your thoughts. You obviously loved it, right?
I mean, this movie, it was crazy because it was only like an hour 27. And I felt like there was a race in the middle that I was excited because it was the end. And then it was only halfway through.
Now, that was the prelims to get into the final.
Trust me, I was ready for it to end then. It was a Hal Needham film, which, I mean, that's Burt Reynolds' stunt double was the director. So,
right.
Jason Schwartzman's dad.
Jack Schwartzman. Yeah.
Made the movie, named his production company after Talia Shire. And then their marriage crumbled. So I'm guessing that company name didn't last. But I assume this is a guy trying to impress his kid, like, hey, I'm going to make a BMX movie. But the whole premise was that BMX was that big of a deal.
I mean, It definitely was a thing, but even where
it was a thing, like, yes, me and my friends, we would like, yeah, ride over some jumps and shit.
Right.
But there wasn't a commercial aspect to it. Nobody gave a shit.
Well, there was not to the level that they made it seem in this movie. There were definitely, like, I had friends that raced. I had a bunch of friends that raced, but it was a very niche thing. Oh my God. Double off the wall. So yeah, it wasn't nearly as big as they tried to make it seem in this movie. It was just crazy where there was like fans and $100,000 prize money, and just, it was crazy. Telly Tuput, tell us, you grew up obviously riding BMX in the hills of the Rocky Mountains up there. You're a big Rad fan. Tell us your experience with Rad. What do you love about this movie? Why did you want us to review it?
I love everything about it. It's the perfect 80s movie. It is like in the vein of Karate Kid. I watched this so many times, like growing up, like we were big into Supercross, motocross.
Yeah.
But this is like, this fell in there, and then we all were into BMX and I love this movie.
Do you remember, what BMX bike you had? What was your of all the bikes you may have had, what was your favorite BMX bike that you owned? What was your brand?
I think I had a Hutch.
A Hutch?
I think I had a Hutch.
Oh, a Hutch is a badass bike. I had a Schwinn Predator, which is kind of weak, I'll be honest.
I think I might have had a Mongoose.
Oh, Mongoose is a good bike too. Mongoose was the sponsor of the movie.
Yeah, does anyone know why Mongoose signed off? I get that their name is mentioned a lot, but the biggest asshole of the movie is the head of Mongoose.
Right, Mongoose was, all the villains in the movie were wearing Mongoose shit. Like, they looked pretty badass, though.
The guy worked for Mongoose. Yeah. He was the evil person.
Yeah, he was like the president of the company.
It was weird.
What's that?
That Mongoose outfit, the fire. One that Bart Taylor wears, fire. The black one, fire.
It's fire. It's pure fire. And it's weird. What prompted me to want to review this movie is just last week or a couple weeks ago, there was an article in Vulture about it where they talk all about it. In March of 1986, a sports movie called Rad hit U.S. theaters, directed by the iconic stuntman Hal Needham. It told the story of Crew Jones, Bill Allen, a scrappy young... So this Crew Jones, you know, he's supposed to be like 16 in this movie, yeah. 17. My dude was looking old. Telly Tuput.
He's got like bags under his eyes.
He's got the droopy lids. He definitely has had an eye job by now. Telly Tuput, and you're the expert on this movie, but you might not know, how fucking old would you say Crew Jones was during the movie Rad?
I'm going to guess 28, but a little backstory.
Yes.
So this is loosely based on Eddie Fiola,
he's in the movie.
Famous BMX guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they had to find a guy that looked like him. And this was who they found. They actually made him darker. Eddie Fiola's dark.
So it's just like very similar to Johnny Cash any biopic. You want to get a guy because the person's so well known, much like Eddie Fiola, who's just a household name. Everybody would recognize him if they saw him. It's important to get a guy that looks exactly like Eddie Fiola, or else you just can't make the movie. Just don't. Why even try?
Yeah, pretty much. They made him darker and they dyed his hair.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So 28, you have Crew Jones being 28 when he's supposed to be 16. Ed Daly, we just did this recently for the movie Summer School, where we found out Larry, the stripper, who was supposed to be in high school, he's supposed to be 17, was 29 years old. Ed Daly, Crew Jones from Rad, you just saw it this week.
Yeah, I would say he's a contemporary of Larry. I'll say he's 29.
29. I would have guessed about that, too, in the 27, 28, 29 range. actually born November 7th, 1962. Crew Jones, only a sprightly 24-year-old playing an old-ass looking 24-year-old playing 16 in the movie.
Needs to get some sleep.
Rad. What else about this movie? It all builds up to them riding Helltrack. The bad guy, of course. Olympic gold medalist.
It's the Bart Connor, Paperboy,
playing Bart Taylor. Always kind of funny when they take somebody that's like well known and they just give them the same first name just so you're sure that it's the same guy. The movie was panned, then bombed and disappeared, despite being a perfect relic of feel good 80s underdog drama. Ed Daly would agree. Rad never quite cracked the cult film canon either. It's very hard to find. The movie lived on instead in the hearts and minds of BMX diehards who made it a blockbuster rental staple and then passed around bootlegs for years. A Guardian investigation into 10,000 movies on the Rotten Tomatoes database found Rad to be the film with the greatest discrepancy between critical reception and fan love. It has retained prominent boosters. Okay. What do you guys think? Rotten Tomatoes, Telly Tuput. What do you think the audience score versus the critics score is on the movie Rad? We already know there's a big discrepancy. What are your thoughts?
I'm going to say 95 for the audience and 20 for the critics.
Ed Daly, your scores?
I read this this weekend, yes. Because I've had thoughts on the movie, and so I was like, what did critics say about it? And they agreed with me. This got a goose egg from the critics.
It's 44%.
No. The original, I saw it was zero versus like 92.
Oh, 92. Well, I'm just looking right now and it says 90% with the audience versus 44 with the critics, but there are only
originally a goose egg. I remember
there are only 9 reviews and they can go back and review it after. Let's see if there's
the original. It was only 5 and they all gave it bad reviews.
Right. Rad fits so snugly into Needham's oeuvre that it's unclear whether the movie is an excuse for the 8-minute BMX montage that opens Rad, or he's just lazy about setting up the slobs versus snobs beats in his 30-year-old teenagers in high school magnum opus. It made me want to go out and get a BMX bike. That's for sure. Probably a PK Ripper.
I read this review from the New York Times. Teenagers may not split from the music or ache from the dialogue, but anyone over 20, beware. You're willing to sacrifice a solid future for a bicycle race, says the hero's mother. It's very self-destructive. If only he had listened to mom.
Well, he could have taken. Why was he required to take the. First of all, why was he taking a makeup SAT?
With the SAT, and then. But this is the thing. In other situations where they have the conflict with the mom, he had one conversation where he's like, yeah, well, here's the deal. I'll take the SAT at a different time. I promise.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, you got me there. That was it. That was the whole conflict.
Right. Well, he's like, maybe in 6 months. Like, what? Right? I'm sure they offer them all different times.
And, you know, when you couldn't hear us, you were plowing ahead. The first 10 minutes of the movie, it was like the video game Paperboy.
That's just great.
Delivering papers to people being all mad. Hey, it's supposed to go on the porch. And then he's high-fiving the garbage man. Like, is that on the route that you're supposed to hand it to a garbage man mid-journey?
They toss one to a guy in a fishing boat. And it's the USA Today. Are they just giving away papers?
I thought USA Today only existed in hotels.
Right. Well, it didn't back then. I used to deliver papers, and there's a very specific list of who they go to, the people that subscribe.
Like fire truck. Don't they have to focus? Somebody's going to be reading the newspaper as they fight fires. Why would you deliver it to a fire truck?
He delivered one to a fire truck, and then he pulls up next to a dumpster, and he flips one to a trash truck, and he flips.
Like, give me a hand.
Right. He flips one to the driver and he fucking rides the dumpster up over the fence.
And at one point, one of the guys rolls off the roof of a car and only the kids in the car notice But the mom must be drunk or something. Yes. She didn't notice that there's a guy. She just hit a bike.
Let's talk about the their interaction with the cop.
You guys missed the greatest opening line ever in a movie.
I wrote it down.
Let's walk this sucker. That's the first line in the movie. The greatest line in the movie.
Yeah,
the
only line. They get the papers dropped off. The three kids. One's a girl, right? That's a couple. The other two, right? Luke.
I don't know. I didn't notice.
I think.
Do not. What? Do not Google her mugshot. It is not.
Oh, she has. Oh no, she's been in trouble with the law.
Yeah.
They all go to pick up their papers together, and they load up their bags, and they do the over the shoulders bags. And anybody that's ever had a paper route knows that is not how you do the bags. You put the bags on the bars. It's much easier that way. Nobody does the over the shoulder things with the bags. That's just insane. That's how they did in the '50s when they used to walk. If you got a bike, you put the bags on the handlebars of your bike, and that's how you deliver the papers. But yeah, he grabs all the papers, and then Crew looks at his crew and says, "Okay, dudes, let's walk this sucker." Well, what does that even mean? They're not walking.
Yeah, there were problems with their whole business. And then they were eating Kick cereal wearing their biking gloves. And why would they all be eating breakfast together? Right. Like on a school day.
Also, why would you? Kix. One of the all-time worst cereals. One of the all-time shitty cereals. Then at one point they're at the school, and one of like the preppy shitty kids is like peacocking all like the schools he got accepted to. Yeah. And he's like,
it was a weird smattering. Good schools, I think. I think they're all good schools, but UCLA. Yes. SMU, Yale, Harvard.
Right. One of these things is not like the other. I mean, I'm sure it's a very good school.
Right. But the school in Dallas doesn't fit in with the others. No. But I mean, I think it's supposed to be a pretty good school. Like I have a buddy who went to law
school. Yeah.
Well, we're gonna say it was FMU's heyday, right? That was when.
Right.
They had already gotten the death penalty by then. I think the Pony Express was done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Right. Okay. Yeah. The Mongoose Bike Company has come to the whatever shithole city. I assume this is somewhere in
Calgary. I looked it up.
Oh, they shot it in Calgary. But where is it supposed to be? Do we know?
Here's the thing. Growing up, I always thought it was Colorado because it looked like a lot of small towns.
The rivers and mountains and shit.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that's why they had the USA Today to make you think it was America somewhere.
Right.
Yeah, when I got older, I thought it was Idaho or something.
Right. It does look.
But yeah.
I'd say the best part of the movie was it's a nice looking place.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. Looks kind of like a sad
except
town.
Except for the dirty lumber yard that they were chased by Sergeant Slaughter.
Right. So Duke Best has come to like set up. For some reason, they've invested in a building and BMX track there.
Oh, I just looked up that mugshot.
Hell track. Wow. She ran into some hard times.
She looks like she's thirsty. She looks like she's very parched.
Oh, right. Maybe.
She was in Friday the 13th.
What was her name? Becky.
Yeah. Marta Kober.
Marta Kober. Okay. Now
K-O-B-E-R. Look up that mugshot. It's troubling.
Yeah, I remembered seeing her in something else, but I couldn't remember what it was. And then I saw it was Friday the 13th.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it looks like she's getting worn out in Friday the 13th. Oh, she really blossomed.
Yeah, she did.
Mm-hmm. Wow. But then it's things.
Doesn't she look like she needs a glass of water in that mugshot?
You know what she looks like? She looks like Carrot Top, but he's like really dehydrated.
Yeah, we just can't see the steamer trunk.
Right. He hasn't had his whey protein in a couple weeks or any kind of liquids. He's like really he's trying to make weight for something maybe.
One thing about the Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah.
Cop. So he comes to their home and I'm not sure what the charges are, but then he chases them and then they ditch him on like the pile of wood. And then he's like, "Oh, you got me." Well, he showed up at their home, so he knows where they live. Like, well, that usually doesn't mean when you're in a small town, like the cop doesn't know who he's chasing anymore and it's over.
But it was almost like a friendly game that they play that wasn't really well explained. Telly, maybe you could shed some light. Like, what's, were they wanted for a crime? Because it seemed very easy to hide from the cop.
Well, growing up in small town Colorado, there's not a lot of shit for cops to do. So
right.
I kind of get this. And I don't think that was anyone's home. I think that was just a little shack they hung out in.
You know what? I think you're right, because it was like a pretty, I think it was like just a shack like next to the lumber yard. It was like their clubhouse or something. Still, I mean, he knew where to find them. It's a small town. I'm sure he knew where they lived.
Right. Oh, yeah. I guarantee that town is like 5,000 or 6,000 people.
Yeah.
Max.
But for some reason, they decide to make it like the epicenter of the BMX world. And so
yeah, Mongoose is really dangling the carrot.
Bart Connor, he shows up into town. And
the parade, everyone is there at that parade.
Well, what do they say about parade? They're like, they say something like, all I see a parade like this, all I see is dollar signs. And I was like, what? It's just fucking some cars driving down the street.
I looked up Bart Connor. He married Nadia Comaneci.
Yes.
She looks pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got two chicks in this movie, which is like 200% more chicks than you imagine a guy 5'3" that rides BMX hooking up with. But, and they're, you know, they look like they've, I mean, they're the hottest chicks in the town,
but they look like outright prostitutes, their right. age. Right. I don't know what their names were, but they have to be at best late 20s.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. They had the teased hair. Yeah. Yes. They did. They definitely didn't fit in the town. There's nothing to do in this place.
What's the role of Aunt Becky? Is she's a BMXer, but she just like hates him? What is she supposed to do?
I don't know. Is she on the team? I don't think she's part of Mongoose, but she's there like promoting for her sponsors because she's also a BMX rider. But at some point she says, I don't chase trophies or something.
Right, so she doesn't race, but what is her value to the BMX team? She's just there.
Yeah, it's not really explained.
She's there for the prom, the bike prom?
It's not really well explained. Telly, maybe you could shed some light.
She does race. She's just there to help promote.
Right, right. Exactly. That's what I was thinking.
And like you mentioned, Mr. Hand is there he must have had a gambling problem.
So, and at some point, the movie takes a turn. So they're like, hey, we're having this race. It's all the best pros. We're going to make $1 million off this. It's going to be on national TV. What? What? I know there wasn't much. Like, we were pretty starved for entertainment in the 80s, but there was no
Wild World of Sports never put this
on. No. But it was going to be a national TV thing. Like they really saw dollar signs, and it was intimated like Mr. Hand had some sort of sway in the town. He wasn't the mayor, but he was somebody.
He was like the prominent businessman.
Right.
I got.
And he hates kids. He's like, the world would be a better place with less kids. And also every day he gets coffee from a place that's like 87 feet from his office.
Yeah, and he holds it out like, don't tip the waiter.
Yeah, but he also rides a BMX bike. He rides a BMX bike from like two doors down while balancing two cups of coffee with a tray of coffee. Dude, just walk.
And his double-toasted bagel.
Right, and his double-toasted bagel. Nothing wrong with that. Had one of those today, as a matter of fact. I don't get how, where the money was going to come from. Like
but he's in on it at first. Right.
He's in on it at first. And then he takes a turn. No one does. No one knows what it is. There's some sort of money making endeavor that isn't explained. And I don't know what it was. But at some point, Mr. Hand is like, I'm not doing that anymore. And then he stakes Crew Jones, who he hates, to his race.
But you're skipping over the only memorable part of the entire movie.
Oh, we're talking about the dance.
The prom for bikes.
Yeah, the bike prom.
If the town, they welcome all the pro bikers into town by having like a prom. I mean, these are like grown men.
Yeah. Bart Taylor, he's got two dudes on his team that are like his henchmen, and they're twins. And, you know, I've said it many times about adult twins. I get
when
it.
When they're wearing the same outfit.
Right. You guys are not allowed to dress alike, and you're not allowed to be in the same place in public. Like, you're just not. It's too freaky for the rest of us.
Jan and Zan, the Wonder Twins. They're wearing like that futuristic Buck Rogers outfit looking thing.
Yes. Well, these two.
Yeah. I think their names are Lance and Spence, right?
Yes. Their real names are like Chad and Kraz or something. Like, they do have similar names. Chad and Carrie. Rex and Rod.
Wow.
Rex and Rod Reynolds. And these are the adult twins that definitely like to suck each other's dicks. I'm just telling you right now. Like, I could.
It's really the dance scene is insane. And Bart Connor is doing some synchronized dance. Well, there's a whole thing going on.
Yeah, they're doing like the Lambada. Like, they all know the same dance and they're doing it together. And then Aunt Becky comes out. What up, Aunt Becky? Aunt Becky comes out with her, she brings her bike to the dance, and so does Crew Jones for some reason. They're like, Crew Jones is never off his bike the whole movie, except when he's waiting tables at the Italian place. They both have their bikes at the dance, and then there's like an announcer, and they're like, are they going to do the bicycle boogie? And then they come out on the dance floor, and they do like Flatland freestyle moves.
Well, the weird thing is, I don't know. I mean, you guys, I was just kind of into like riding and jumping on my bike. Right. Not like, it seems like 90% of what these guys want to do is turn their bike into a pogo stick.
Yeah.
There's too much hopping in this movie.
A lot. They're like standing on the seat and riding around, and it's a completely different discipline than racing. So are we supposed to believe that Crew Jones is like a trick guy, or is he a bike dance guy? It's very confusing.
I got Dancer out of it.
Yeah.
And they played Send Me an Angel. That was the only song I recognized.
They probably had to spend a lot of money licensing that song. Yeah. But it was probably cost big dollars. That was a big hit. What else? Yeah.
And then Aunt Becky's buying what Crew is selling, and then he races off. And I was wondering, like, did he not want to reveal that he had a boner, or what was that?
This whole time he's trying to hook up with Katie from school. And I gotta be honest, Katie's pretty busted. Like, it's not. No.
Is Katie the one who looks like Carrot?
No. That's his friend that he rides with. He's got some chick at his school that wants nothing to do with him, and he will not. He's like, hey, you like this trick? And he's like doing endos in front of her and stuff as she's walking home from school. And she's like, get the fuck out of here, loser. And then Becky comes to town, and she's way hotter, and he's like still not sure. Like, it takes a while. They have to jump their bikes into rivers and stuff before he realizes that Becky's his thing.
Yeah.
Ed nailed it. He had a boner. Going for sure.
Swimming fully clothed.
That was weird.
No.
Yeah.
You creep over it. His first date, he takes her ass sliding.
Yes. Yeah. No, I was going to ask you. So they allude to it earlier. They foreshadow because his buddies that he delivers papers with are like, hey, we're going ass sliding. Nothing more fun than going ass sliding. You ready to go ass sliding? He's like, I can't. You guys go ahead. I won't go ass sliding. So they allude to ass sliding. And I'm like, what the fuck is ass sliding? And then they show it later. He's like, do you want Aunt Becky's like, they're walking their bikes. And she's like, it's so beautiful here. I bet you guys have a lot of fun or something. And he's like, you want to see some real fun? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, follow me. And then they jump on their bikes and they go like,
who wants to have some wet jeans?
Yeah, they go riding through some woods and stuff. And then they're like, they're jumping, they're going like riding through playgrounds and like jumping off the tilt-a-wheel, and they're doing all this shit, bunny hopping everything. And then they show them and they're like, it's like a water slide. It's like a concrete water slide that's like 20 feet long. And she like lays in front of him, and then they just slide down into a river fully clothed. Like,
you know, and if you look around,
yeah,
it's fall.
Yeah, it's fall. In
Calgary, that water had to be 34 degrees.
Freezing.
Like,
freezing.
Freezing.
So, but then. Freezing. Then they're looking for hot chocolate. But it's like, dude, you guys almost killed yourself by log fluming it fully clothed in ass sliding. It's just not a lot of bang for your buck in terms of an interesting, exciting thing to do.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ass sliding.
I mean,
that was the Arizona thing.
But. Right. Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, I know they do a lot of that at the Pike House in Tucson. But I think it's a different kind of ass sliding down there. So that finally we get to the, oh, so hold on.
So then this was the race I thought was
right.
The movie was over.
So they lay it out kind of convoluted. They're like, hey, we got all the top pros in the world coming there. And like, they're at the city council meeting or something. The townspeople are like, well, hold on. What about our local boys? Our local boys should get a chance to race. Which is insane on its face. It's like if the Olympics are coming to your city, you don't get to go petition the mayor so your son can do the pommel horse. Right? Like, these guys are professional bike riders. You don't just get to the Tour de France doesn't go out to the Champs-Élysées and pick out a couple kids that are riding their 10 speeds around and go, hey, hop in.
You're with the baguette. You're in the race.
Right. Like, it's crazy. This is so dumb. But they're like, okay, they work it out. The Mongoose guy's like, okay, I'll give $10,000 and we can have one local qualifier in the race. And so then they have like a series of heat races that is very confusing. Crew Jones and also it's not on a regular track. Like, they're riding down creek beds and they're like pedaling down grass hills and shit. Like, why couldn't the qualifying race also be at the hell track? Did that strike you guys as odd?
I didn't know what was going on at cool. this point.
Yeah. Telly, are you with me on that? Like, why were they riding like along the riverbed and through like fucking rock gorges and shit when they had a perfectly good BMX track in their town?
I don't know, but that track, the X Games one through the woods was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And maybe they wanted to save Hell Track for the TV.
And right. And just so you know that Crew's like not a pro or he hasn't really raced that much before, they put him in like the Dominic Hasek, Chris Osgood style, like cage goalie helmet, probably because they were in Calgary. They're like, hey, we're here in Calgary. Let's get him a helmet. And they just fucking, they're lousy with those goalie helmets up there. So he was riding that. And now I need something explained to me, because it's like a series, you amass a series of points in these heat races, and whoever is like does the best overall in the three races moves on to the finals. So Crew gets third in the first race, and then he gets second in the second race, and then in the third race he also gets second. And so that makes him
won.
What's that?
Didn't he win?
No, I think he got second. I think he got, Telly, you've seen this movie more times. He got second, right?
Yeah.
So
what they had to do was finish in the top three of each qualifying heat to
right.
move on.
Right. So he did. And then, so he got third, second, and second racing with like a bunch of like local privateer racers that are trying to get in this big race.
No.
Yeah. No, it was with the pros because his buddy had broken
tire. He raced against the Melendez brothers and Bart.
Oh, Bart was in that?
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah, Bart was in the first one.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Well, so he finishes second, which qualifies him for the big race at Hell Track with all the pros. Why? He didn't even get first one time. Why were they immediately so freaked out? They're like, you got to beat this kid. We better not let him race. Like, they're so worried about him. What gave them any idea that Crew Jones was even going to compete? Why would we think that he would be one of the better racers in the big race if he didn't even win one of the heat races?
But also, why did Mongoose sign off on this? Because their president was an idiot. He immediately was freaking out, and then he offered Crew a contract
to cheat. Yeah, to throw the race. He could have been made a pro, which, pretty good deal. Like, it was unlikely he was going to win the race anyway. They're offering you a contract. You love to ride bikes.
Right.
Why not do it?
Ride a bike for a living. And he turned it down. Why? Crazy. What is happening? It's crazy.
A little side note about, you know, when he wrecked during that race.
Yeah.
And it was an actual wreck. And it was Eddie Fiola does all of his Crew Jones' stunts.
Shut the fuck up.
And he knocked himself out. He got knocked out.
I did like how his buddy bent a wheel, and they're like, oh, that's it for you.
Fuck off.
Just get another wheel, dude. There's fucking million people with bikes here. I'm sure you could borrow a wheel.
Bikes there.
Right. You got one front rim because, that's bent.
Yeah, because he was still alive technically in the heat.
Right.
But then they looked at his tire and it's like, yeah.
Sorry, buddy. That's it for you. That's the end.
And then he also takes Aunt Becky back to the lake because we haven't had enough of the lake scenes. And then the Mongoose guy and his henchman Elliot keep moving the goalposts.
Right. So at first you need they just say you need a sponsor. Kind of vague. Because he could get Chico's bail bonds to buy him a jersey, and he could be like, all right, I got a sponsor. Kind of vague. So he makes up his own sponsor because he wins 10 grand in the first race. So they do some kind of homework trade thing to get people to dye shirts. Very convoluted. I don't know why that was necessary. But he starts his own company, Rad Racing. And then they're like, actually, you need to have a sponsor give you $50,000. Which doesn't make any sense at all.
And then we know who's going to come through. Town's big businessman, Mr. Hand.
I didn't know that was going to happen. I was surprised by that. Mr. Hand steps up and pays the difference on what he wasn't able to raise. But Crew was being a real bitch about it. He was ready to quit. He's like, I can't race anyway. I'm just going to go take my SATs or whatever. He throws his bike on the back of Becky's S10 Blazer. And also, Becky's got a sponsor. Couldn't she call her sponsors and be like, hey, this fucking kid's up and coming. You know, you might want to take a look and see if, you know, just lace him out for this one race and see if it works out. But no, Mr. Hand steps up.
I think she's with Mongoose. And the only reason why I say that is because that last outfit.
Right.
She's wearing the Mongoose one.
I thought she was with Mongoose too. At one point, she talks him into racing, and then they share an ice cream cone. And not share an ice cream cone in the way you do with your chick, where you're like, you're licking the ice cream cone and your chick's like, hey, let me have some of that ice cream cone. And you're like, sure. And you hand her the ice cream cone. Becky, Aunt Becky is tonguing it from one side, and Crew is literally on the other side of the cone. They're both licking the same ball of ice cream cone. And I don't know if this is the COVID talking. We just live in a different world than 1986, but I feel like even in 1986, I don't see two people licking on the same ice cream cone at the same time like they were. Did you guys think that was weird?
I got the feeling that was a stuntman trying to add a sensual scene. Right. That's a Hal Needham. Right. All right, we need something really sexy. And it just wasn't working. And then you get to the final race, and I was very confused by the final race.
So the final race goes on. It's Hell Track. It's all pros and
Crew
Jones. And
so, did you notice the guy with the Mohawk helmet with the horn?
Yes.
That's Eddie Fiola.
Shut up. the...
They announced him as Eddie Fiola.
I know. Yeah, I know. But it was all pros.
Yeah, there was a guy with a full, thick mustache.
Yeah, there were like
that's 40... Hollywood.
Yeah.
That's Hollywood Mike.
Hollywood Mike. There were like 40-year-old dudes racing BMX.
But these all the other riders, it was just Bart Connor and crew, because all the other riders are trash. Crew fell.
Yes.
And was still able to pass 80% of the riders within like 4 seconds.
Yes, he fell. And then Bart Taylor, has a huge lead. And for some reason, stops and waves crew up to him.
Well, how about when crew did the backflip to get into second place?
Yeah.
And the announcer goes, Hulk Hogan, eat your heart out.
Yeah, what's that? What was that? It was insane. Yeah,
I had to pause it when I heard that.
Yeah, that
you know that typical Hulk Hogan move where he flips over the bike, his dirt bike, into second place.
I will say this, when he executes the flip, I thought it was kind of a nice nod to women's empowerment. Because what do we know? Aunt Becky, Christian is her character's name, she teaches him that flip. He's trying to flip his body around, and she's like, dude, you got to lead with your head. You got to look back. Oh, yeah.
He should have raced. It's weird that she didn't race.
Right. Why wasn't she racing? She doesn't chase trophies. But eventually... Crew does prevail. Like he
doesn't. He would have lost. He did there. It's like a dead heat, and he does a 360. That's like a guy sliding into first base.
Yeah,
doing a 360 would make you come in second.
Yeah, no, it's insane. You know, it's stupid. But also, he would have lost because Bart Taylor waited for him. Could you imagine Usain Bolt being like 8 yards from the finish line and then just stopping so that Tyson Gay could catch up to him, and then he could just run.
What he did in 08 when he clowned them all. He like stopped and turned to the camera.
Yeah.
But Bart stopped because the two other Cobra Kai's took him out. Remember?
Yes.
The two Cobra Kai's made him crash.
Oh, they did? No, he crashed them. Right?
No, Lance and Spence
had gotten them.
Yeah, Lance and Spence clipped him.
Oh, they did. Rex and Rod.
Oh, sorry.
But then he comes back and he's in the lead, and they go through the little tunnel thing, and they're like,
waits in the woods.
Yeah, they're like, Bart Taylor is stopping. He wants Crew Jones to catch up. Like he regains the lead and then just like hangs back so Crew can catch up with him. It's insane. It's so stupid. Okay. Important question. I'm going to put this out to the group. Who amongst everybody in the movie Rad is the loudest comer?
Who's that loud comer? Coming all over.
Friend of the show, Telly Tuput. You've seen this movie many, many times. You are the expert when it comes to this movie. Who in the movie Rad is the loudest comer?
The drunk, old, disgusting Mongoose owner, the guy that
right.
The main guy.
Bill
Best?
Duke Best. I could picture him being a very loud comer. He gets very angry, and also he's drinking scotch at the track, which is kind of, he comes up to and he's like, he's like, you better win this fucking race, you piece of shit. Like, he's the best rider in the world. Won't he go to the next best team? It's like if Lewis Hamilton doesn't win a race, they don't like fire him. He wins
right,
almost every
your history, kid.
Right.
He came in second.
He wins almost every race. Like he's not going to win every single one. If he loses one, he'll probably win the next one. Ed Daly, a lot of loud comers in this movie. Who's the loudest comer?
I was tempted to go with the old man in the first scene. Who's like, it belongs on my porch.
Yeah. He would be a loud comer. I feel like he's shooting dust these days though.
Yeah. But it's going to be Bart Connor. Yeah. I mean, just the scene, the dance scene, the synchronized dance scene. I sent you a little clip of it, Brian.
Yeah.
And he's way into the styling of everything that I got to think he's a loud comer, a performance art kind of guy.
Yeah, I could see that. I could, well, he's a Ed. He's a gymnast.
That's right.
So
he's coming off of the high of LA 84.
Right. LA 84 with his buddy Mitch Gaylord, Peter Vidmar. Like, no Soviets that year. They got to do work. I got to go with either Rex and or Rod Reynolds. I feel like these two get together. They get out the oils. It's kind of like the Corsican brothers. Like, one, if something happens to one of them, the other one feels it. So it's kind of like the Stranger. They just sit next to each other. They get out that they get out that coconut oil, and they just, Rex starts working Rod's rod, and Rod starts working Rex's rod, and it's like a twofold, just extreme, loud coming extravaganza. Rex and Rod Reynolds, Chad and Carrie Hayes, the loudest comers.
Who's that loud comer?
Okay, dude, let's talk about how much money this movie made, because it can't be very much. And then we'll
Brent, look at your phone. I sent you a picture of Bart Connor and Nadia Comaneci each with their son.
Their kid. Ooh, Nadia looks good.
Yeah, she looks great.
She's in her 60s.
The kid, the vest.
Who dresses their kid like that?
I mean, it's when you tell your son, you know, we're going to some sort of red carpet situation.
Wow. Yeah.
And
also, like, she looks great. She looks very natural. Her hair's good.
Really good.
She's got nice boobs. She's very fit. She looks great. Bart Connor's got like a...
doing something.
Yeah, he's got the face really pulled back. He's doing the glasses so you can't, he's got like the low key like sunglasses on so you can't see his eyes because he's got a lot of wrinkles probably.
Right.
It's a tough look for old Bart Connor.
But good for Nadia. She's looking great.
No, she looks amazing. Trivia, the name Crew, short for cruiser. Which his friends call him several times. I was wondering that.
Does the mom call him Crew?
However, Crew Jones' real first name, Christopher, uttered once by his mother in the movie, Talia Shire, consistently being the biggest bummer in every movie she's in. And not her fault, obviously, because these are the roles she played. But Godfather, Rocky.
I couldn't get why she was so bad in this, because... like, when I was looking into it, this was her first production with the Rocky Bunny.
Yeah.
And her husband was running the show.
Her husband was a producer.
Yeah. And so this was her first one, because I listened to a podcast with Eddie Fiola. He was talking about it.
Of course you did. Fuck yeah, you did.
And the Eddie Fiola?
So the movie's never been released, ever. Any copies of it were stolen from Blockbuster.
Right.
And just made. And so they've been trying to get her to release the rights to it. And apparently she sold it to her son for $85.
Jason Schwartzman.
Yeah. Well, apparently he has it.
Wow.
But now it's on digital. Like, you know, I sent you that thing. I think it came out like a month ago, digital.
Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime. Luckily,
I found a bootleg copy.
Ed Daly was able to find me a Brazilian bootleg on Facebook that I watched. And you, Telly just said it. Despite petitions, this film has never officially been released on DVD or Blu-ray until Vinegar Syndrome announced that they restored the film in 4K. And would release it in both Blu-ray and 4K format. So maybe that's what we're seeing now. Maybe they had to make it good. Do you think, is this similar to the Sinbad Genie movie, Shazam, which has also been scrubbed from the cultural consciousness, much like Rad, not on DVD or Blu-ray, unable to be found anywhere just because nobody wants to admit that it happened or exists. Filming was delayed because the Hell Track starting ramp was so high, none of the riders wanted to go down it.
And even the pros wouldn't do it.
Right. The ramp was cut down to a 25-foot tall version. BMX Plus did a Magazine did an article on this. Well, it was pretty steep. Original title of the film was Balls Out. Interesting.
Would have been a fun name, but...
As Telly, the world's foremost rad historian, let us know, the character of Crew is loosely based off of Eddie Fiola, who did most of Bill Allen's stunts in the film. I thought these looked familiar. Rod and Rex's dance suits were borrowed from the movie V. V, that's when the aliens come and they look just like us, but they eat rats.
Oh my God.
Do you guys remember V?
No.
Yeah. With the green blood.
Yes. I thought those suits looked familiar. The only song that was in the movie and wasn't on the soundtrack was the Charm King song. Who cares? When it came time to film the Hell Track scenes, it was fall. People were asked to remove their jackets to make it look like summer, and leaves on the trees were painted green. During the filming, none of the stunt riders were able to complete one entire lap of Hell Track. The race scenes were filmed one section at a time, five times over before filming the next section. The footage of the complete Hell Track race took 2 weeks to film. They put some money into this. Bill Allen, Crew, has since written a book called My Rad Career. I can only imagine it's on Telly Two Putts Nightstand as we speak. Eddie Fiola does the stunt work for Lori Loughlin when Crew and Christian ride in the park. That's pretty much it. How much did it cost to make this? What do you guys think?
Well, yep. He also, when they did the dance, he was Lori Loughlin.
Unbelievable. Eddie Fiola, which you learned on that podcast you listened to.
Another side note, Bart Taylor, they only shoot him from the waist up because
he can't run.
He had a torn ACL.
Shut up. Wow. Yeah. Interesting. This came out March 28th, 1986, shot in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Doesn't have the budget, which is unfortunate. I feel like it had a pretty decent budget. You know, what's the budget?
Well, they spent $11 million on it.
Wow.
Whoa.
Cumulative worldwide gross $2 million. Massive, massive flop. But cult classic. I mean, it stands the test of time. Scenes included in the final airing on the Canadian cable movie station Super Channel, but absent from the home video version. A short sequence actually made up of three different scenes right after the confrontation at the... who cares? Luke is sitting at the... who cares about that? Okay, anything else to add? Telly Two-Putt. This is... I actually, unlike Ed Daly, I rather enjoyed the movie Rad. I thought it was pretty good. It's no worse than any of those other movies that basically did the exact same thing in the 80s. I enjoyed it.
I beg to differ. We're going to do North Shore soon. I think that was a great movie.
Well, I haven't seen that in equally as long, so I'm excited to watch that as well. Telly Two-Putt, anything else to add? Rad, the movie Rad that you got us to review. Anything to add?
Well, yeah, I watched it so many times, and that's why I've been in love with Lori Loughlin my whole entire life. So.
Oh, yeah. She's a babe. She's due to go on soon to go on house arrest. And as I've made clear many times on the show, welcome to spend her house arrest on my couch. Anybody knows Lori, Aunt Becky, Lori Loughlin, my couch is available for any type of scoopage during your house arrest. Ed Daly, your thoughts. You like this movie, obviously. Anything else to add?
Telly, I like you, but you've recommended the two worst movies we've ever done.
I disagree. He's definitely recommended the worst movie we've ever done, which is Howard the Duck. We did one recently that really sucked ass, though. What was that? Not Armageddon. I mean, Armageddon was shitty, too, but not as bad as Howard the Duck.
No, Armageddon wasn't nearly as bad as this.
No, but what was it? What was another one we did recently that was almost as bad as?
We've done some bad ones, but this is. I mean, Red Dawn was really
bad. Oh, Red Dawn, horrible. Red Dawn is worse than Red.
Oh, I love that movie.
Red Dawn is worse than Red. Much worse. Red had some moments.
Red hinged on the race at the end, and the end of the race was he lost.
Right, but he did win. Right.
I mean. They gave him the win, but right. He lost the right. race.
Yeah, because he did a 360. Yeah. Okay, I enjoyed it. I'm glad we did it. For special guest of the show, Telly Tuput. For Ed Daily, my name is Brian Beckner. This has been episode 334 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. We will see you next week.
Brian Beckman, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Plus, you know, talking loud comers, conundrums, my brothers. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all us. TBLS.